Today, we are looking at the topic, Communication is Pure. The passage read to us lists characteristics that prevent communication being pure, and we'll start by looking at some of these. Swearing, small talk, lying, complaining, criticising. And then I want to look at how to respond to critical people. And finally, we're going to look at how we can bless people with our communication. And I use that word purposefully, as we might text or write a card, as well as speak an encouraging word. I suggest we each need to choose one area of communication that we want to work on and concentrate on that until those around us notice a difference. Maybe as I go through some of the negative areas in the passage today, one of them will jump out at you and you can choose that to be the area you want to work on. We want this series on communication to really change us. That's why we are encouraging you to discuss them in house groups. I challenge you to share in your house group the area you're going to work on and ask them to tell you if they notice a difference. And beyond that, share with someone you spend a lot of time with and ask them to tell you when they notice you acting differently. That will encourage you to keep going. But more about encouragement later. If by the end of this talk you aren't sure what area to work on, I'll send on to the house groups and ask Peter to post on the website Tim Keller's Communication Guidelines. It's basically a list of do's and don'ts of communication with scripture verses to back them up, so you can rate yourself against the different qualities and the rating will show you the one that you should work on. If you like that sort of thing, you're going to love it. But I'd encourage you to just be open to God speaking to you today and revealing to you an area that he would like to grow in you. Remember, it won't be a feeling of condemnation, but a stirring to know you should be better at that, whatever that is for you. So last week, Malcolm spoke to us about that verse, "Out of the heart, the mouth speaks." And often, the things that come out of our mouth reveal our hearts. So as I run through some of the ways we shouldn't be communicating, listen to God to show you an area that he wants you to work on. But remember, this may just be a symptom of a heart issue he wants you to deal with. Ask him to show you what is causing you to behave in this negative way and seek his healing for your heart. We may be working on not swearing, and that's a good thing to work on if it's an area that God reveals to you. But you also need to ask yourself, what does this problem reveal about my heart? Is swearing, for instance, due to a fear you'll not be accepted by those around you? We need to be open to God revealing to us the area in us he wants to work on, both in our communication and in our heart. Remember, scripture says, no human being can tame the tongue. We need help from outside ourselves. God can help you to tame your tongue. You just need to partner with him. Be open to what he is showing you and teaching you. Be open to his grace. We put in effort, not earning his grace and his gifts, but putting in effort, opening our souls to God, and cooperating with his spirit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to change today. We want to grow today. We want to impact those around us today for good. So Lord Jesus, would you reveal to us any area of our communication that just needs adjusting? And would you, more than that, Lord God, would you show us the root cause of that in our hearts so that we can deal with our hearts and change our hearts and purify our hearts so that out of our mouths comes pure communication. Reveal to us, Lord, we just want to change today and be more open to you today for your glory and for the benefit of those around us. Amen. So let me start off by giving you an example from my own life of the link between your communication and your heart. So God's been talking to me about being bold and courageous and not holding back from speaking out. The area of my heart he's working on is being fearful of man. Like Malcolm said last week, I need to repent of my fear of man, of fearing what people think more than God. Forgive people who hurt me in the past and repent of partnering with a fearful spirit. Then I need to open myself to what God says to me and who God says I am. So having done all that, what steps am I taking to make that change, to change my behaviour? Well, I've been asking questions in work meetings. Rather than holding back for fear of what people might think of me, I've been opening up about myself, confessing my weaknesses rather than keeping quiet for fear of what other people might think of me. Okay, so the first negative I will address is swearing. I think that if you are a Christian, you shouldn't swear. That's it. All I have to say, really. Point one, done. I think we can use alternative words to show our frustration, like flipping or sugar. Some may disagree. I think it's okay. We need to express our frustration or release stress sometimes. If I spill the shredding paper all over the carpet and I say sugar, it tells everyone I'm cross, but it doesn't discharge my anger out into the world in a negative way that negatively impacts the atmosphere like a swear word does. We're called to be kingdom people, people of the kingdom of God who bring light into the world. The New Testament tells us not to swear, so that's it. I realise for some of you, you work or live in an environment where swearing is much more common and it becomes harder not to swear. But light shines brighter in dark places. Here is your opportunity to shine. Then, Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander. The Message puts it this way, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. The Amplified Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice or spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. It's easy to dismiss a lot of these and think you don't do them. But if we called it gossip, you would maybe identify with it more. Even in what starts out as small talk, a friendly chat, we can be drawn into backbiting, slander, spitefulness. Let's look at an example. Someone you know didn't get a job and a discussion starts up. I think the boss didn't like him. I think he wanted the job for his friend. Well, he does look a bit of a scruff, etc. The discussion continues until you are pulling apart different people's character. When actually, how the interview went and the reason for one person getting or not getting the job is outside of your knowledge. And we go up that ladder of inference that Charles spoke about a while back, where we move from facts to assumptions, which impact our behaviour, and soon we're making assumptions and reacting to people in ways that are not based on reality or fact. Now, is all small talk or idle chatter something we should avoid then? Is it a bad thing? Actually, in fact, it can be a good thing. Some of you need to get better at it. There's a type of small talk which is part of hospitality. Apparently, when we meet someone, the first 7 minutes is shallow banter. It's not a waste, as it takes that long for the human brain to relax and feel safe enough to open up. A lot of women are good at this. They start off a conversation with a compliment, move on to asking where someone lives or who are their family. We're looking for a way to connect. Men struggle to compliment each other. They can be more task-orientated. They often feel more comfortable doing something together, meaning that their conversations can lack depth. If you can't wade through the shallows, you can't reach the depths. Now, please don't be indignant and distracted by my generalising and sexist talk. Maybe it's cultural, and there are always exceptions. But there is this small talk that is great. However, small talk can be a breeding ground for character defamation, a white lie, exaggeration, boasting, sarcasm, power dynamics. If this is an area you find yourself drawn into, maybe you feel insecure. There can be lots of reasons, and we need to ask God, why do I get drawn into gossip? One area you might struggle with is telling the truth. We are to tell the truth and not lie. Again, maybe we don't tell what we would think about as outright lies. But are we who we say we are? When I fail to ask a question because I don't want people to think I'm stupid, I am in a way lying, because the honest thing is to show I'm someone who struggles to remember the details of what we read in that paper yesterday. If I act on my thought that, well, if I ask a question, people will think I haven't read that paper or will know I've forgotten what it said already, then I'm thinking they'll think less of me. Then I'm participating in putting on a front, lying about who I am by my actions. If I ask the question and people see me for who I am, then I'm being honest and revealing the true me. The person they're relating to is the real me. We can work on telling the truth in lots of little ways. I've listened to some great podcasts in preparing for this sermon, and one was by John Mark Comer from Bridgetown Church on simplicity of speech. And he addresses the question, why do we lie? So the first reason he says is because of fear. We lie to get out of trouble, or because of fear of what people think of us. Or we lie because of what we want. We want people to think we're good or better than we are, or that we think we are. We're called to humility, not a false humility that puts yourself down in some weird way so that others will think more highly of you, but humility should be an honest appraisal of yourself before God. So, if I'm asking for baking for a church event, Maria can say, yes, I can do this, as she knows she's good at baking and presentation in particular. She shouldn't hold back because she doesn't want to seem boastful or because she thinks someone else might be better at it than me. That's not humility. Humility is saying, yes, this is a gift God has given me that I can use. Of course, you can always say, well, if someone better comes along or more experienced, I'm happy to step down. That's okay, or whatever. But know who you are. Have confidence in the gifts God has given you. It's your opportunity to glorify him, the giver of gifts. Another area we need to watch is manipulation. We should ask for what we want, not seek to manipulate people. Just ask people what we want them to do and not do. Not sweet talk them or manipulate them. My son caught me doing this week, and he challenged me about the note I left him instead of speaking to him about how I felt. Please know I need to work on all these areas as much as you. We mustn't try to manipulate, to control and fix someone. We mustn't judge others. We mustn't use moral superiority, shame and contempt to get people to do what we think they should do. You see, there's a lot on social media, but it doesn't actually change people. The next attitude to challenge us on is complaining. Did you know there's a new term for someone who complains all the time? I only learnt this last week. The young people call them a Karen. Sorry if your name is Karen. A Karen is someone who complains all the time. My son Nathaniel explained to me that a Karen is typically depicted as a middle-aged white woman who says, I want to speak to the manager. Are you a Karen? There's lots of complaining in this time of pandemic. Being made to wear a face mask. People who aren't wearing face masks. Having to queue outside a shop. Shops who let people inside and don't make them queue. We can all turn into complainers. Sam Roberts from Life Church. Yes, another podcast. I share these because they sound great and I find them useful. I want you to find them useful too. So Bridgetown, Life Church, Craig Groeschel, Win Today. These are all podcasts I listen to. They're all good. So Sam Roberts says the cure for complaining is gratitude. Gratitude is the cure to the pandemic of complaining. Gratitude is also the gateway to peace. Maybe you see your complaining comes from an anxious heart. And that's why I think we need to look at the heart issue I was saying to you about, so that you know, what is God speaking to me about? The word for anxiety in the Bible means being pulled apart in different directions. So you become fearful to move. Imagine you're carrying a tray with lots of balls on. These are things you need to keep an eye on. You have to balance them and you become fearful to move in case you drop one. If you're struggling with anxiety, write things down that you're thankful for each day. So I was anxious about 3 weeks ago about going back to work. I'm a peripatetic teacher and I wondered, what was I going to be allowed to do? Would I do something wrong? What was going to be asked of me of when working in this new way? Would I get to see all the pupils I love working with so much? And will I enjoy my job if I can't see them? So aware of feeling nervous, I turned my mind instead to gratitude. Thank you for the sun. It was one of those sunny days. I was sat outside. Thank you for my pond. Thank you for the lilies on my pond. And on, until I was thankful and I felt peaceful. The peace of God means being made whole. So instead of carrying the tray full of balls, I'm now whole. I'm just carrying one ball. So that's easy. If anxiety is a big problem for you, don't just say the things you're thankful for, write them down. It's more powerful. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Stephen Hibbard talked to us about speaking the truth in love. It's one of the subjects brought up at our Elders' Day Away that we felt was a weakness in our church. It's something I think we've been scared of as a church and need to get better at. We need to get better at speaking the truth in love, but we want to avoid a critical spirit. Guard your heart from a critical spirit. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, rash language cuts and maims. Our passage in Ephesians 4 instructs against cutting remarks, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding and slander, malice, spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Often we don't know we're critical because we think we're right in the way we tear things down. Being opinionated can just be an excuse for criticism. Being opinionated, having strong opinions even, just sounds better. Galatians 5, verse 14 and 15 says, love your neighbour as yourself, but if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. What if your critical words are driving a wedge between you and the intimacy you could have in your marriage? What if your critical words are driving a wall between you and your children? As Malcolm said last week, a criticism can stick with someone for years, and an encouraging word could build them up and launch them into a place they never would have achieved. What kind of person do you want to be? Have you ever met a critical person that you want to be like? Proverbs 21 verse 19 says it is better to live in a tent in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. It could equally say with a man who picks you apart and puts you down all the time. The Ephesians 4 verse speaks of the fault finder. It's easy to be a fault finder. Satan, the accuser, finds faults. The Pharisees did it. Some of us will do this because we're full of pride, thinking we know best. Others because we're insecure, or we criticise things we don't know anything about. Maybe because we think it makes us look more experienced. A critical spirit can be due to pride, ignorance, or hurt. Examine your heart again. Is there something in you causing you to be unnecessarily critical? So what about when you are criticised? How do we respond to critical people? Ephesians 4 verse 32 said, "Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." So the first response is don't. Don't respond. They criticised Jesus for eating with sinners, but he didn't retaliate. Jesus stayed quiet before Pilate. He trusted God to be his judge. Jesus not talking was a quiet rebellion against the political leaders and a deep trust in God. Jesus trusted himself to him who judges justly, trusted God to protect his body and his reputation. Proverbs 19 verse 11 says, "Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs." So sometimes we just need to overlook an offence. Not pretend it didn't happen, but overlook it. Craig Groeschel describes this as a form of forgiveness that is choosing to forgive in real time. There can be an internal dialogue going on. I know I could react to that. I'll ignore it. It happens in real time, that dialogue in your head, once someone has said or done something. But you just don't allow it to hurt you or pull you down. You rise above it. Secondly, we need to respond carefully. Give an understanding, an explanation. Oh, I did this because of such and such. That sometimes is enough. Wait to respond until your emotion is low. Don't be driven by emotion. Ask yourself, is this criticism really about you, or is it born out of hurt in the person's own life? Not everyone who criticises you will have listened to Stephen Hibbert's talk. So try to remember all these things. Don't be defensive. Have compassion. How do we overcome criticism when we've received it? Well, the first is to become grounded in who we are in Christ. This is again where we have responsibility to work on the health of our hearts. If you are hugely impacted by criticism, maybe you've been wounded at some time and that needs healing. Go for ministry after the service. Book a sozo. Go for a counselling. Our attitude should be, your approval or disapproval doesn't derail me because I know who I am in Christ. I don't need your praise. We shouldn't be motivated by praise from people or derailed by their criticism. Don't get me wrong, we all love to be encouraged and praised. That's part of what I'm trying to encourage you to do. But we shouldn't be needy of that in order to feel good about ourselves. We should be assured, confident, maybe not every minute of every day. We can all have times of feeling nervous, but generally we should feel assured and confident in who we are as a child of God. And we should respond according to the Spirit of God, not looking for the approval of people, as we already have the approval of God. Remember, Satan is described as the accuser, the enemy who comes to kill, steal and destroy. Don't let him steal your identity in Christ, nor destroy your peace and confidence. The enemy accuses you by thoughts coming into your head. You're not a good mum. You haven't amounted to anything. You failed your children. Even if you have made mistakes, Jesus died for your sins. We admit them and we say, I turn my life to Jesus. Nothing is too big for the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus. Satan's accusations are meaningless. God sees you as his beloved child. His son's death means that when he looks at you, he sees only what you were created to be and the love he feels for you. You can turn to Christ. You can rebuke Satan. If you struggle with negative thoughts about yourself, contact the ministry team at the end of the service and they will pray with you. You are not who others say you are. You are who God says you are. I once sozoed a young boy who had been bullied. Children had said things to him. We drew round him and wrote the words that they'd said and the names they'd called him on post-it notes, and we stuck them on the picture of him. And then I told him to take them off, and we went into the sanctuary at church, and we put them on the cross, and we walked away. And when we went back into the room, I said to him, ask Jesus, who does he say you are? And he said, Jesus says, I am a nice, kind boy. And we wrote that down and we stuck it on his picture. Some of us are more resilient and we can guard our hearts against toxic words. We can't control what people say, but we can control what we believe, what we meditate on. Don't let them in. Those rash words, those hurtful words. Proverbs 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put a shield up around your heart and let them glance off and not penetrate. Lastly, when we receive criticism, sometimes we need to listen and make a change. If your wife, who loves you, tells you something, maybe there is an issue. If your husband, who loves you, tells you something, maybe there is an issue. Or all your friends tell you something, maybe you do have something to learn. Proverbs 15 says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Areas of our life can be better because of constructive criticism. We should be using them as opportunities for growth. Okay, the last area I want to look at, Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let's be encouraging. Let's bless people and let's use the gift of prophecy. Let's look for things to encourage people about. We are followers of Jesus. We point people to Jesus, the living hope. We speak words of healing and life. If this is your gift, please use it. The gift of prophecy, the gift of encouragement. One of the greatest times of spiritual growth I experienced was under a minister called Bruce Collins. He had such a gift of encouragement. Jill, come out and pray for this person, he'd say to me. Jill, have you a word for this person? He grew me so much because he trusted me and he encouraged me. If you have the gift of prophecy, speak over someone from God. Pray and ask God for a word. Write it out, put it in a card, email them. Speak life-giving words to others. One challenge I'm trying to do is whenever you think something good, say it. Don't hold it back. Don't rob the person of the blessing. We're called to be the light, that when we walk into the room, the atmosphere should change to positive, to hopeful. Build people up. You can do this. Your work environment can be different. Your home can be different. Parents, bless and don't curse your children. Parents, our children will live up to the words we speak over them. You're such a good helper. You're a good singer. I love to hear you sing. When you went over to see what was wrong with John, you were using the fruits of the Spirit. You were using kindness. Jesus is growing your heart to be so kind. Maybe for some it sounds a bit cringy. Get over it. It isn't about how it makes you feel. It's about how it makes them feel. Maybe you're thinking, this is all very well for extroverts. I'm an introvert, and this is really hard for me. Well, extroverts will find it hard not to manipulate people, to hold back, to hold their tongue, to press pause before they speak. But introverts, quiet in and of itself is not a virtue. Silence can be aloof, moody, manipulative. Some of you need to talk more. Speak up. Say what you think. Offer a prophetic word when you would rather just sit and watch. And remember to speak the life-giving words to yourself and your circumstances. Sometimes yourself talking is life-taking. Instead of, I'm probably doing wrong, I hope I don't mess up, speak life to yourself. You've got this. God's with you. He's done it before. He will do it again. Replace toxic words with truth. You may not believe it yet, but you keep speaking it until you see it and believe it. So let's pray. I invite you wherever you are, whether you're watching this live or at a later time, just sit now and open your hands to Jesus. To the Holy Spirit, let's welcome Holy Spirit and let's pray. Holy Spirit, please show us the area we need to work on in our communication. Lord, if this is a symptom of something in our heart, reveal it to us. Lord, we seek your healing because we want to be different and we know we can't do it on our own. If you are carrying a hurtful word, take it to the cross. Lord God, I give you this word, these words that were spoken over me. I leave them on the cross. Father God, will you tell me what you think of me? If you are an offender, have you spoken toxic words to someone? Then come to the cross. And Lord, we bring to you these words that we have spoken. And we ask you for your forgiveness. Maybe you recognize that you have been critical to your spouse or your kids or that person at work. Confess a critical spirit. Choose to no longer partner with that critical spirit. Bring it to the cross. And ask God to give you a spirit of his choosing. Lord God, let us not waste a breath on tearing someone down. Empower us to say wise words that bring healing. I ask that we would have words of hope for others. If we receive criticism, help us to learn from it. Help us to rise above it. Help us not to let toxic words into our hearts. Help us, Father, to say good things when we think them. Amen.